These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Welcome to the Kashi Tapes podcast. I'm John Hewlett.
I'm Favaz. Did you have a blessed Christmas, John?
I did.
Did you? Did you go to Midnight Mass?
No.
Okay.
No,
I'm not
going around crowds.
Oh,
staying out of crowds.
That's right.
Yes, yes. Have you heard there's a pandemic?
Oh, yeah. I did hear about that.
All right. Yeah. Stay up on top of the news, man.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. Here we go. This is an interview. Now, this is interesting. 99.9% of our interviews we've done so far on Kashi Tapes podcast were done by either Favaz himself or me, myself. We've had a few that were done by others. And as we get further and further along here and get into some of the old tapes and some of the other announcers who were on Kashi 95 on those tapes, we're going to be doing some of the interviews that they did back in the day. And there was a fellow who worked here in the early 1980s named Jack Silver, who did an afternoon show on the weekends, or I guess both weekends, Saturday and Sunday, and also did a thing called the Kashi Rock Report, where he would get a lot of interviews, most of them on the phone, of artists, and then would do would cut those interviews up and then do little features with it.
Okay.
And I found quite a few of his interviews intact, you know, on a lot of old reel-to-reel tapes. So this is the first one we're going to play of his. This is the first one that I've really found, and we can get in here right away. And it's an interview that Jack Silver did in early 80s, had to be the early 80s because that's when he was here, with the Donnie Van Zandt of 38 Special.
Yeah. Now, Jack Silver, I know that name because I work here, but as a listener, I did not know that name.
Yeah. Most listeners would not know that name. But, yeah, he was on the radio here for on the station for, I guess, 3 or 4 years, but never had a full-time air shift that I recall.
So you're saying he wasn't good enough, John?
No, I don't. No, I just don't think there were any openings at the time when he was trying to break through, which has happened to a lot of people over the years who've gotten you know, part-time jobs here but never got on full-time because some of us just won't retire. But anyway, let's get to the interview with Jack Silver and Donnie Van Zandt. Oops.
Now, what you call a cement wall hit me pretty hard.
Oh, so this is we kind of get into the middle of the interview here, I guess, where Donnie Van Zandt apparently jumped off a stage and hit a cement wall or something.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He was a young, virile guy back then, so, you know, cement walls probably didn't hurt him all that much. But now, apparently, he's retired from 38 Special and has had some illnesses.
Right.
You know, I think he's always in his late
60s. Had COVID.
Oh, recently had COVID,
yes,
too.
Yes, I believe he had COVID. Yeah.
Hey, well, I guess there's an image that that goes along with being Donnie Van Zandt, so that fits in. You got to take it easy, though.
I sure am. I'm getting too old to be jumping off stages, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so that's how it happened?
That's how it happened.
Now, I have an interview with Donnie Van Zandt. That's what I thought this was going to be. That I did on the phone too. He's a great interview, generally speaking. He is very conversational and, and interested in talking about what he's got going on.
Right, Jack in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it was the last song to set, and the show was just going fantastic.
Yeah,
and I just got a little high up there on the stage, you know, from the crowd and stuff like that, and decided I'd jump off the stage. When I did it up real good.
All right, well, if you're going to go all the way.
Right.
All right. Phew. Okay, well, first of all, let me say that...
okay.
He wasn't ever a full-timer, John?
Okay. Yeah, how many interviews have you done where you're in the middle of you go, okay, well... Now, Jack was funny. He was fun, too. I enjoyed working with Jack.
What I'll be using your comments for is we're doing a special, a 90-minute special feature about Super Jam, which is the gig that you got.
Oh, the Super Jam show was coming up, and 38 Special was a part of one of those two Super Jams, I guess the second one, I think.
Well,
possibly no.
It was definitely not in the late 80s. I mean, the first Super Jams were in the, like, 76, 77.
No, this is the early 80s. This is like 1980, maybe.
But I'm saying the Super Jams that he might be talking about were 76, 77.
So no, it wasn't 76, 77. It was 79, 80, something like that, I think.
I don't know. I think Ted Nugent was, when he had Cat Scratch Fever, he was...
Here's close coming. Get his attention. He was walking in the hall out there.
I'll get him.
Get that crusty old bastard in here, Mark Close. Yeah, I don't think the Super Jams were 76, 77. Maybe the first one might have been 77, but the second one was 79, close to 80.
All right, he's coming.
Is he coming? Okay. Yeah. Hey, wow, he's going to...
Turn on this mic?
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah,
number
put
three.
Him on the microphone. Number three. Okay,
no,
yeah,
hey,
I got
we'll
it turned
on.
On
this one.
Okay. Hey, welcome to a big-time podcast, dude.
Wow, golly.
Could you feel it in here?
Oh, I can tell, man. Hi, all you 10 listeners. Good talking to you.
Well, we got a question here. The Super Jam concerts that happened at Busch Stadium, there were two of them. What years did you think they were?
The first, and there were more than two.
There was more than two.
But what was
77, 78?
Yes, yeah, yes,
77.
Yes.
You said 76, 77.
I said 76, 77.
Yeah, this
I think
was,
the first one might have been 76.
It was like 77,
but
79, Jack, 79, 78.
But we're doing an interview that Jack Silver did with Donnie Van Zandt.
Okay.
But John is saying that Jack worked at Casey in the early 80s. And he mentioned Super Jam here.
Right.
So I don't know what Super Jam they could have been talking about.
I thought there might have been three or four, because remember they do them at Busch Stadium and they do them in Kansas City.
Yeah, I thought,
at Arrowhead. Maybe.
I just remember two big ones, and then they stopped it after that because of all the heat. The people got overheated.
It was crazy.
Do you remember the one that I missed that I really wanted to go to was Sammy Hagar opened, or no, he headlined, and it was Journey, Judas Priest,
right.
Shooting Star.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was the second one.
I think that was like the third one.
That's when Sammy drove out in the Trans Am. He drove the Trans Am out in the field. That's the one where Steve Mizrani was going to introduce him and freaked out and couldn't do it. Remember Wayne Meisenholder and David Byrd, our friends from Capitol, had got Sammy to come in, and they had Steve Mizrani going, Mizrani boys. And he was set to do it and flipped out and couldn't do it. And
couldn't
I think one
it.
Of them
That's
ended up doing
it.
So, but he came out in the red Trans Am.
Okay, but Sammy Hagar wouldn't have headlined a show in 76. He wasn't that big yet. Or even 77. So it had to be...
That was 79.
That might have been 79. He was, if he wasn't the headliner, he was the second top.
He was the headliner.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
Remember. Well, I have the shirt to prove it, too.
Well, let's see what we
go on
here. I have
my Super Jam shirt.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, who do I send my bill to?
Okay. Send to John. Okay. He's richest per capita.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you so much.
I'll pay you out of petty cash.
Thanks for your help here, Mark.
Yeah. Petty cash.
Yeah, I'll pay you out of petty cash.
Okay.
I'll be playing here in St. Louis this Saturday. And I got all the other bands already in the can and ready to go. So we're just waiting.
Tell us
who are they?
The other
Come
bands.
On now,
Come on, Jack.
For you now.
All right.
Yeah, let me finish.
My old Jack is he's aghast here. He's running out of gas. One of the two.
No, I've been running around.
Take your time, man. I've had you running around from last week.
Yeah, no problem. But again, you know, okay, let me start out by saying... thanks for the call, and we've got Donnie Van Zandt of 38 Special on the phone. And for some of the people in St. Louis, Donnie, who might not be familiar with 38, possibly you can give us the roots of the band, based in Jacksonville, correct?
Yeah, we're from Jacksonville, Florida, and we've been together about 9 years now, Jack. And I'll tell you the best news, and I'll go right to the present. The Special Forces album, my new album out right now.
Oh, Special Forces, okay.
I will look that up.
Yep, Special
go ahead,
Forces.
Keep playing. Keep playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Went gold in about 3 week period.
I'm going to say 78 for Special Forces.
Thank a lot of you people there in St. Louis for helping us make that.
Yeah, as a personal note, I totally had to get behind your record and not let, you know, caught up... dominate, because here we're totally we like roughhousing.
Uh-huh.
We like back on the track.
Yeah.
Would you like to know?
Yeah.
1982.
See there, I told you it was late 80s. Or early 80s.
Well,
I told you it was early
80s.
So 82.
Jack, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But whatever Super Jam he's talking about already happened. It happened with Sammy and Journey. That one already happened. I don't know which one he's talking about.
We like the new single. We like it all.
I'm glad to hear that, man. You know, that's one thing that sort of perturbs you in a way. I mean, I guess it's the way radio has to be. You know, it's not cutting it down one way or the other, you know, but it just seems like a lot of radio stations will only get on one song on an album, you know, and it's probably from so many groups being out there. And
that was great about Casey. We didn't go by what the record company just said. Oh, yeah, here's the track. this is the track, stay on this track, and help us promote this track, blah, blah, blah. We'd get the album because our individual DJs were playing their own music back then, and we picked what we liked.
Right.
And that's why so many more songs are KC classics in St. Louis than they might be anywhere else.
Very true. So I've got the lineup. Oh, gosh. What sign up? It's free. I don't know. The lineup for Super Jam 1980. Sammy Hagar, Journey, Judas Priest, Shooting Star, and April Wine. That was 1980.
That was the second one of the two that I remember.
Okay, hold on here. Now, it also says there was a one in 1976.
Yes, 76?
Yes.
Okay, that was with Fleetwood Mac and Jefferson Starship and Ted Nugent, maybe?
1976. Hold on here. Fleetwood Mac, Jeff Beck, Starship, and Ted Nugent.
I remember that one. That was the biggie. That was the first one of always is always the most impressive.
In 77, Gypsy, Head East, Judas Priest, REO Speedwagon, and Ted Nugent.
Okay.
That was 77.
That was the second one. Okay.
Okay.
So there were
78, they had Angel, Blue Oyster Cult, Bob Welch, Eddie Money, Styx, and I've had JY, he's got that at his house, a framed photo of a helicopter shot of Busch Stadium, the crowd, when Styx took the stage.
Huh.
And the Gods, G-O-D-Z.
I remember the Gods.
Okay. And then Super Jam 82. Okay, so this must be the one, here's the one that Jack was talking about. 38 Special, 707, Loverboy, REO Speedwagon, and Rainbow.
Okay.
So those were the
other
bands.
So there were four Super Jams.
Were there one, two, three, five.
Five Super Jams. God, I don't remember the other ones at all.
76, 77, 78, 80, and 82.
Okay. What was the last one?
82.
The fifth one. Oh.
82.
Well, you only read four of them, didn't you?
No. Well, I started off with 1980.
That, you started off with 76. Then you said 77.
70. And then there's 78. They skip 79. 80 was the Sammy Hagar Journey one.
Oh.
And the last one
was this one.
Was this one.
82. So five Super Jams. Wow. Huh.
Yep.
You know, so less space to play everybody, you know. But I'm glad to hear that because I think the whole album, I don't think there's a weak cup on the whole album, you know.
No.
And he's probably right about that. That album is killer. That Allied Forces 38.
Special Forces.
I'm sorry, not Allied Forces. That's Triumph.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, what we've always tried to do, you know. We've noticed in the past a lot of other groups will put what they call fillers on the album. And what we really try to do is give you your money's worth, you know, and really put what we think are real good songs on the album.
All right. So a question that could pop to mind.
And keep in mind, be fair to Jack Silver here. He was not doing this interview for it to be a continuous interview to be on the radio as one complete interview.
Right, because he wasn't full time.
Well, that's not that. He was doing these in order to use different comments to different questions in a feature thing.
Yes.
So, so that's why in between his answers, Donnie's answers, Jack is kind of, you know, hem-hawing around a little bit. So to be fair to Jack.
For many is, Wild-Eyed Southern Boys was quite a success with the Fantasy and Hold On Loosely leading the way. And now Special Forces, as you mentioned, going gold. Some people might construe that as an overnight success, but rather it's an overnight success that took about 9 years. Am I right?
Took about 9 years of hard work.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that's the whole thing with 38 Special. You know, we just we kept in there with it, Jack. You know, we got fifth album, I think. Yeah. Hell, I can't keep up with it. But anyway, we just kept in there, and we changed our whole strategy of recording the whole thing. From our second album on, we went through a management change, and we had a lot of legal things that we had to put up with and all that, so we were more or less stalemated for about a year and a half there. And we had a lot of time to evaluate our music and every other thing, you know. So we went out in left field a little bit, and on our Rockin' Tonight, where we really broke the ice with the top 40 single, Rockin' Tonight. We wrote a song, an instrumental called Robin Hood, which you might remember.
Right.
And, you know, and it's something that we would never do before. You know, so we went out and took a chance on it, and it got real good response nationwide, that song in particular, you know. Mm-hmm. And plus, Rockin' Tonight, like I said, broke the ice for us for the top 40.
Yeah, that was, I remember Casey broke that with...
remember Robin Hood, that song?
No.
No.
Never played it.
I don't remember that.
No.
Okay, now, hang on, just for a quick...
Rock and Roll.
I'm calling Protection Florida now.
That was
Ruth. You're at home.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, we just heard Ruth's voice.
Yeah, it was
Ruth's voice.
Ruth Hutchison. So he paused the tape, and then I guess picked it up again, and just sometimes when you hit record... And you hit stop. You hear record again. There's like a split second of what was already on that tape prior to what you were recording.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to touch on an area, and I hope, you know, if I can get a little personal with some questions. I hope you don't mind. If I'm being out of line, you just tell me to shut up.
No, go ahead, man.
All right. You are 38's front man, okay? You take the spotlight in the stage show. But lately, we find Don Barnes vocally on the radio taking the spotlight for 38. Uh-huh. Is there any animosity towards this? How does this sit well with you?
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Oh God, yeah, Jack. You know, 38 Special is like the St. Louis Cardinals right there. You know, we're a ball team, and race for that pennant. We want the first place slot, and whatever it takes to get us there, we'll do that, you know. And we don't necessarily sit down when we're writing songs or whatever and say, hey, Don, you going to sing this song, or Donna, you going to sing this song. Whoever does it the best and has the feel for it is what we go with.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Now, Don Barnes is still in the band. They're still around.
Yeah, he's the only original member.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
And we've been together 9 years.
And that's why they're still worth seeing.
Yeah.
You know, if you see 38 Special, you're seeing close to the real thing, minus, of course, Donnie Van Zandt, who did some singing on some big songs, too.
Don, in particular, has been together. We've been playing for about 14 years together. So, no, there's none whatsoever. You know, I'm glad that he's doing what he's doing right now, and I think he does real well.
All right.
You know, and I'm happy for him that he's come into his own as a singer.
Okay. Continuing on in this personal vein, you definitely come from, what some people would call the first family of Southern rock. And now you...
Yep, that's a true statement.
He's getting to Ronnie Van Zandt.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Skinner.
Come on, Jack. Doing good, buddy. Keep it going.
Younger brother just delivered a strong record right here. We're talking about Johnny Van Zandt. But your older brother, may he rest in peace, is a legend. Is there a need in your mind to carry on in your brother's footsteps, because I think there's some Skinner on Special Forces, okay, and especially maybe Back on the Track or Backdoor Stranger. So is there a feel of a need there to carry on in Ronnie's footsteps?
That's an excellent question, too.
Yeah.
And I remember this about Jack Silver, too. Jack Silver loved the music and knew a lot about the music, too.
Oh.
He wasn't just some guy, you know, just in here.
Right.
Surely, you know, I mean, I don't think nobody can feel his footsteps, you know, but you, after the crash and all that, I really wanted to go out and just make that name that he made nationwide, and just like you said, he's a legend, you know?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to keep that name up there, you know, and do it any way I could do it, the best I could do it. You know, our family raised us to be individuals, you know, no matter what you did, whether you painted houses or cut grass or whatever, as long as you did your best at it, you know, that was all that was expected of you. And that's what I'm trying to do right now with 38 Special, just doing the best I can. You know, if I can get just be half of what he did for the music business and all that, I'll be real happy.
You don't hear the things about Donnie Van Zandt, or even Johnny Van Zandt for that matter, that you heard about Ronnie Van Zandt back in the day. Because Ronnie was, you know, once alcohol got in Ronnie Van Zandt, he was an asshole.
Right.
You know, he would punch his bandmates all the time. I mean, he was, they were intimidated by him, you know. It wasn't a democracy a lot of times when it came to
Leonard Skinner.
And he was a short guy,
and he may have had a little man syndrome.
Yeah, he probably did,
you know.
Yes. But I never heard anything like that about these other two guys, the other brothers, you know. And Donnie Van Zandt is, like I said, I've interviewed him in the past, met him in the past, never heard anything negative about him.
Right. Interesting. And maybe I can hit up on the fact that I noticed your name pretty prominently on the new Johnny Van Zandt record.
I think I wrote about five songs with him on this album.
Ah, okay. Can you explain your relationship there?
Well, the whole thing with Johnny, Jack, to be truthful with you, you know, you know how it is in the music business when touring and all that and recording all that. We spend like a 30-day special spends at least 6 months on the road, and in the other town we're writing and recording.
Mm-hmm.
So we're real busy with the music part of it. And since the crash with Ronnie, then the main thing that I really miss most about it all was I didn't miss it. What the thing? What I'm trying to say is that we didn't really get to be together that much because of this.
Yeah.
And with Johnny, I've been lucky to write with him, which brings you, really, when you write together musically and all that, you really get to know a person and you really get to be closer to him.
Hmm.
And I go out of my way try to spend as much time as I can with him and the family, you know. Because you never know what's going to happen.
And you know, Johnny Van Zandt was not the lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd at that time.
No.
He would become, and he would have a hell of a tenure. He's still with the band right
That's
now.
That's right.
But at this point in time, he was still putting out solo records.
That's right. Good point, Foz. I'm glad you pointed that out.
That's for sure.
This is true. All right. First of all, I just want to say thanks for opening up to that. I don't know how that sits with you
yeah.
and when people try to pry into your personal life. So
yeah.
I appreciate that. Okay, now let's get more on the upswing here. Okay, those Wild-Eyed Southern Boys. If someone was to look at the last two covers of some 38 special records, we might think that y'all like ladies and their behinds in particular. What's the story?
I'm behind, man.
We heard.
Yeah.
Here first.
You heard it first. I will not lie.
Why? Who paints those things? Or what's the story, man? How does that...
A&M Records is partly responsible for that.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm sure the record companies have a lot to say in that.
Yeah.
I guess it helps a lot on your in-store displays. And,
It shows up a lot.
All right. Okay, I like that. And I'd finally just...
People who don't know, like the Wild-Eyed Southern Boys album had that girl on the cover.
Shorts and high heels.
Yeah, that pink pair of shorts.
Yes.
And then on this album, Special Forces, too, there's another woman with a nice rear end.
Her ass hanging. And then the band was like facing her. I remember in the Wild-Eyed Southern Boys.
Yeah.
Was like they were in the drawing, too.
Yes, you know. That's right.
For information's sake, we here at Casey have... a pretty good relationship with Jim Peterick of Survivor.
Right.
And I feel...
very good. He's going to bring this all up here, where Jim Peterick was instrumental in writing some of their best-known songs.
Yates has a pretty good...
Who then went on to be a part of Survivor.
Right.
Yeah. Relationship with Jim Peterick as well. Can you explain your relationship with Jim Peterick and possibly the feelings you have towards his helping the success of 38 Special?
First of all, Jim Peters, one of the finest men I've ever met, to begin with. And the way we really was introduced to him was through our manager, Mark Spector, which Jim, on our third album, we went to the studio and recorded 8 songs, and we had the album more or less recorded. And Mark Spector, our manager now, that was with A&M at that time as the vice president of A&R, and which later became our manager, he called us up on telephone and told us that he had a song that Jim had wrote, and it was called Rockin' to the Night. And he wanted us to record and see how we could do it. So he sent a demo tape down to us, and we listened to it and really, really liked the song a lot. So we did the song, and like I said, it broke the ice for 38 Special, you know, as a top 40 song, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm answering your question, but the main thing is that on this song, on the new album right here, Special Forces, I got to write with Don and Jim on one song, a song called Chain Lightning.
Yeah.
Great song, Chain Lightning.
I love that song.
Peterick also helped write Hold On Loosely, which is one of their big songs. And another guy who was in the band who was very instrumental, and he's kind of fallen by the wayside, is a guy named Jeff Carlisi.
Mm-hmm.
He was important in that group,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And, it was just a lot of fun, you know. I hope next year we'll get together and write more, you know. What I did this year was write with a guy named Larry Still, which I wrote with last year on the Wild-Eyed Southern Boys album. And he's from Jacksonville here. And I really, really like writing with him a lot, you know. because we're basically from the same culture and the whole thing. We sit out there by the lake and get good drunk, and we have fun riding.
That's how it happens. All right. Okay, now finally, this Saturday here in St. Louis, 38 arrives for what we're calling Super Jam 82. All right, a big event for us here in St. Louis. You know, the outdoor dates are a big, much more than just a concert for the city that it takes place in. But so I'd like to ask you, Donnie Van Zandt, your feelings about the outdoor dates and how you enjoy getting in the middle of a baseball field and jamming to about 35,000.
I tell you, I love it. Jack, it's a high you cannot describe.
I'll bet. Can you imagine being the biggest crowd I remember being on stage? I think we were on stage at the Checker Dome, sold out Checker Dome for one of our birthday parties for somebody. Yeah. And to be in front of that many people and they're looking at you and you're talking is pretty intimidating.
I got that beat.
Huh?
Bush Stadium.
Yeah.
Riz and I from 105.7 The Point, we did the intro before Metallica at the big show. And there was 40,000 people there, probably more than that. And it is amazing to be in front of that many people.
Now that I think about it, I do that all the time.
Yeah, that's right. And you're in, they see you too.
But it's different. It's different when they're all around you and when you're talking.
Right, John's talking about the public address announcing at the Cardinals games.
Yes. Although when I've done some of the PAs, you know, introductions during World Series and playoffs, then the place is jam packed, and I do feel them on top of me as I'm announcing, and then they're looking at me. But other pre-game stuff that I've done, or when I'm in the booth, it's not the same thing.
Right,
it's not the same thing.
It's just something about that. I can be just as calm as I can be, but when I walk up the steps, especially on an outdoor show where there's 60,000 people or so, when you walk up them steps and you get on that stage, it's just a high you cannot describe. And I'm just looking forward to coming to St. Louis there and do it. And all I can say, y'all be looking out for us because we're going to be burning the stage up.
All right. Wow. Again, I'll let you recover there with your leg, and I do appreciate you calling. Before I let you go, though, Donnie, could I get a couple, possibly a couple quick promos from you?
Sure.
All right, you got a piece of paper there?
You want to hear these?
Oh, no, not really.
No, I think that's it. The interview's over.
All right.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. Donnie Van Zandt of 38 Special. Again, he's not in the band anymore, but he was very instrumental in the band for a long time.
Yeah.
All right. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan. On Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
Come follow me. I am Favaz.
Yes. He's worth following.
Yes.
And that's it. Thanks
AMF.
For tuning in. See you later. Bye.
The KC Tapes with Hewman and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.